The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 8, text number 16, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on May 18th, 2007, in Riga, Latvia.
So tonight we are reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 8, and text number 16. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punararvarti Norjuna Mam Upecha Tukonteya Punarjanmana Vidyate. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. Purport. All kinds of yogis, karma, jnana, hatha, etc., eventually have to attain devotional perfection in bhakti yoga, or Krishna consciousness, before they can go to Krishna's transcendental abode and never return. Those who attain the highest material planets, the planets of the demigods, are again subjected to repeated birth and death. As persons on earth are elevated to higher planets, people on higher planets such as Brahmalok, Chandralok, and Indralok fall down to earth. And the practice of sacrifice called Panchagni Vidya, recommended in the Chandyoga Upanishad, enables one to achieve Brahmaloka. But if on Brahmaloka one does not cultivate Krishna consciousness, then he must return to earth. Those who progress in Krishna consciousness on the higher planets are gradually elevated to higher and higher planets, and at the time of universal devastation are transferred to the eternal spiritual kingdom. Sridhar Swami, in his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, quotes this verse: Brahmana soha te sarve samprapte pratisanchare parasyante kritatmana pravishanti parampadam. When there is devastation of this material universe, Brahma and his devotees who are constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness are all transferred to the spiritual universe and to specific spiritual planets according to their desires.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
So, after hearing these words of Lord Shri Krishna, we should carefully take stock of our own heart. That means examine our own hearts.
Mums ir ļoti nopietni, ir jānovērtē, jāveiksamē pašiem savu, katram savu sirds.
We must look very carefully inside our hearts.
Mums ir ļoti uzmanīgi jāparaugās iekšpusē savā sirdī.
And see if there is any tendency there to want to enjoy this material world.
Jāparaugās, vai tur ir kāda tieksme baudīt šo materiālo pasauli.
And if we find that tendency within the heart to want to enjoy the material world in any way,
un ja mēs jau kādā veidā atrodam šādu tieksmi baudīt šo materiālo pasauli,
then we should understand that we are infected with a cancer,
mums ir jāsaprot, ka mēs esam inficēti ar šo vēzi,
which is more dangerous than any cancer that's going around.
Tādu vēzi, kas ir daudz briesmīgāks par jebkuru citu vēzi, kas mums vēl pazīstams.
This is the worst possible cancer.
Tas ir visbriesmīgākais vēzis, kāds iespējams.
The desire to enjoy this material world.
Vēlme baudīt šo materiālo pasauli.
Why do I say that?
Kāpēc es to saku?
Are we Hare Krishna people against enjoyment?
Tad mēs Hare Krishna cilvēki esam pret baudīšanu.
We don't like people to be happy.
Bet tad mēs negribam, lai cilvēki būtu laimīgi.
Is that why we say that?
Vai tāpēc mēs to sakām?
No.
Nē.
We say like this because we want people to actually be happy.
Mēs to sakām tāpēc, ka mēs vēlamies, lai cilvēki patiešām būtu laimīgi.
If one tries to enjoy happiness on the material platform,
ja kāds mēģina kļūt laimīgs, atrodoties uz šī materiālā līmeņa,
he may for some time have the illusion of happiness.
Viņam var būt uz kādu laiku ilūzija, laimes ilūzija.
But factually he will not taste any happiness.
Bet patiesībā viņš nebaud nekādu laimi.
Such a state of mind of trying to enjoy this material plane is a state of misery.
Un tas stāvoklis, ka cilvēku prāts, tāds prāts stāvoklis, ka mēs cenšamies baudīt šo materiālo pasauli, jau ir mūsu ciešana.
Therefore, the intelligent person who is taking up the pathway of Krishna bhakti becomes very, very aggressive to kick out all the enjoying spirit from his heart. He wants to do his service in a mood of service.
Viņš vēlas kalpot kalpošanas noskaņā.
Not in the mood of enjoyment.
Nevis baudīšanas noskaņā.
This is a very important thing.
Un tā ir ļoti svarīga lieta.
The mood in which you do your service is very important.
Tas noskaņojums, kādā jūs veicat savu kalpošanu, ir ārkārtīgi svarīgs.
Just like now I am giving a class on Bhagavad Gita.
Šobrīd es, piemēram, dodu Bhagavad Gita stundu.
So if I take this as some program for enjoyment,
ja es par to attiektos kādu baudīšanas programmu,
that I am sitting on an elevated seat,
es esmu tādā paaugstinātā stāvoklī šeit,
people bow down at my feet, they call me Gurudev,
un cilvēki noliec manā priekšā un sauc mani par Gurudev,
they serve me hand and foot,
viņi man pilnībā kalpo,
they give me money,
viņi dod man naudu.
I could think, well, this is a very enjoyable thing.
Es varētu domāt, tā ir lielisks baudāma lieta.
I can now enjoy like anything.
Es varētu baudīt kā neko.
But that would be suicidal.
Bet tas būtu pašnāvnieciski.
Not only to myself, but also to my students.
Ne tikai man pašam, bet arī maniem studentiem.
So that is an example.
Un lūk, kāds piemērs ir.
Whatever service we have for this in this Krishna consciousness movement, we should take it in a very serious way. This is my duty given by Krishna. And we should try to do a first class job of that service. For the pleasure of my spiritual master, and for the pleasure of Krishna. By sincerely serving in this way, we will find a new level of happiness. we will go beyond what is called maya sukaya or illusory happiness. And we will come to the platform known as Brahma Saukhyam, spiritual happiness. What is the difference between Maya Saukhyam and Brahma Saukhyam? The difference is that Maya Saukhyam is simply an illusion. It's a false sensation of happiness. There's no tangible ananda in Maya Saukhyam. But in Brahma Saukhyam, you have tangible, concrete ananda. You're actually tasting and experiencing spiritual bliss. So, we have the neophyte devotee has a mix of Maya, you know, Maya consciousness and Krishna consciousness. To the extent that you are Krishna conscious, you are experiencing Brahma Saukhyam. Spiritual happiness. And to the extent that you are not Krishna conscious, you are in Maya. Going through the dualities of happiness and distress. And even that happiness is simply, that material happiness is simply another type of distress, that's all. When the material distress is not so bad, then we think we are happy.
But materiālās ciešanas, materiālais satraukums nav pārāk smags, tad mēs domājam, ka mēs esam laimīgi.
Just like there used to be a system for punishing the criminals. It was called dunking stool. Dunk means lowering. Dunking means like that, lowering down into the water. Dunking stool. It's a chair that would go down into the water. They would tie the prisoner on the chair. They put him down into the water. They would hold him underwater until he was almost dead by drowning. And then they would bring him up for just a brief second to get a short breath of air, and then put him back under again. It was a way of torturing him. So when he's coming up, he thinks, oh, now I'm enjoying, you see. So material happiness is like that. You're suffering like hell. But then you get a little enjoyment, a restaurant or some sex pleasure, some liquor, some television. You think, ah, now I'm enjoying. But actually the whole thing is miserable. So why should we be carried away by this illusory happiness? Don't you think that's stupid to be carried away by material happiness? It's very stupid, yes. Very stupid thing. Only a fool would do that. So human life is not meant for being a fool. Human life is meant tato brahma jigyasa. Now that you have this human form, you must utilize it for self-realization. This was the instruction of the Rishabhadeva to his sons. Rishabhadeva, he was a great king and an incarnation of Krishna. And he gave this very important instruction to his sons. Nayan deho deha bhajang naloke kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujangye tapo yavang puttuke yena sattvam shudyad yashmad brahma saukyam tvanantam. You know the Sanskrit, anyone?
I can't sing Sanskrit.
Translation. Can anyone say the translation for this wonderful shloka? Yes.
Now when you have got this human form, this form is not meant to enjoy, but to, but for austerities and to achieve spiritual enlightenment.
Yes. And in this way, your consciousness becomes purified. And you enter into that divine state of spiritual happiness, which is unlimited. So, we should follow the wonderful advice given to us by Rishabha Dev. By seriously taking up the pathway of Krishna Bhakti. How does one do that? Rupa Goswami very clearly describes what is the first principle in Krishna consciousness. In Sanskrit language, he clearly says, Adau Gurashrayam. The very first step is to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. That is the very first step. If you want to go back to home, back to Godhead, and you want to know what is the first step for going back to home, back to Godhead, Rupa Goswami says, Adau Gurashrayam, the first principle is to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. So if we put ourselves under Guru's guidance, follow his instructions very carefully with full loving devotion, quickly and easily we will enter into that divine state, Brahma Saukyam. And we will never experience the happiness and distress of this material existence ever again. As soon as we take shelter of the lotus feet of the bona fide spiritual master, we attain happy life. Someone may say, but I did that and am I miserable? That means they have not properly done it, that's all. Anyone who properly takes shelter of the lotus feet of Guru, Shishi Gornitai ki jai, Shishi Radadamana ki jai. Anyone who properly practices the Krishna consciousness process, he will enter into a state of divine happiness. This process works. You simply have to work the process, that's all. If you do the process exactly as it is given by Srila Prabhupada, you become a spiritually enlightened being.
Jūs kļūsiet par garīgu apgaismu būti.
You will not remain in material consciousness.
Jūs vairs nepaliksiet materiālajā apziņā.
You will become Krishna conscious.
Jūs kļūsiet Krishnas, nonāksiet Krishnas apziņā.
24 hours a day.
24 stundas dienā.
In all times, all places, and all circumstances.
Visos laikos, visās vietās un apstākļos.
So I can ask now if there's any questions. There'll be a special nectar for the first whoever asked the first question. That hand went up. All right.
How to become free from pride? Kā kļūt brīvam no lepnuma?
Free from pride means
brīvam no lepnuma nozīmē
to not want to take any credit.
Neseņemt nekādu atzinību.
That is the meaning of freedom from pride.
Tas, to tas nozīmē, būt brīvam.
Whatever you are able to do, you do not take credit.
Vai ko jūs nedarītu, jūs neseņemt nekādu atzinību.
You give all credit to Guru and Krishna, that's all. That is the program for becoming free from pride. Do not take credit. The only credit a disciple can take is that I obeyed my Guru's order, that's all. That is the only credit that we can take if we actually do that. So, will you do that? Will you do that? Will you obey your Guru's order? You see? That you have to agree. And that's the only credit you can take. Questions more? Yeah.
Почему настоящие сливки экстаза преданного служения можно ощутить только на Авадута Киртане?
Капец, пастас, пастас, путугреемс, но в Карикас Калпошинс, только Авадута Киртана изъедамс. Why is it so that the real cream of devotional service we can enjoy only, we can receive only at Avadhuta Kirtan.
Yeah, but Kirtan you can taste 24 hours a day?
But you swear that Bhavdi Kirtan do this just from dinner.
You have to live your life in such a way that you're in a constant Kirtan. You must do everything for the glorification of Krishna. And then you will be in the kirtan 24 hours. Do not act for sense gratification. Do everything on the order of Krishna and Guru. And then you'll be tasting the kirtan ras 24 hours daily. Next question.
Tad ko tas nozīmē apzināties sevi un ko cilvēks tad jūt, kad viņš apzinās sevi? What does it mean to realize myself, and what one experiences,
yeah,
when one is realized
himself. Yes, to realize yourself means you must fully realize that you're Krishna's eternal servant. That you're not a Latvian woman. You're not that body. You're an eternal spiritual being in quality one with God, the eternal servant of the Lord. And when you fully awaken your divine consciousness, you will experience at every minute eternity, knowledge, and bliss.
tad, kad jūs atmodzināsiet šo savu patieso būtību, tad jūs ik mirkli izjutīsiet mūžību zināšanas un svētājumu.
So would you like to taste that at every minute, eternity knowledge and bliss?
Jūs vēlētos to izbaudīt katru minūti.
So you simply have to fully surrender and then you will taste.
Tad jums vienī pilnībā jānododas un tad jūs to izbaudīsiet.
Does it mean that it will be the moment when I realize myself as a soul?
The moment means it happens like the rising sun. It's not that all of a sudden it's dark and all of a sudden it's the bright, full daylight. The sun comes up slowly, slowly, slowly on the eastern horizon. So if you want to have that divine awakening, then you must fully adopt the pathway of Krishna Bhakti. You must have faith in the process. You must associate with the devotees. You must take initiation and be faithful to your initiation vows.
Jums ir jāsņem iniciācija un jābūt uzticīgai šiem zvērstiem, ko jūs dodat iniciācijas laikā.
In this way you must patiently execute your duties, expecting the full mercy of the Lord to be bestowed upon you.
Un tad jums ir pacietīgi jāpild savu pienākumu, sagaidot, ka šī žēlstība, kungu žēlstība nāks par jums.
Gradually your ignorance and your misery and your sense of temporality will go away.
Un pakāpeniski jūs tumsību un jūs ciešanas un tās maizies projām.
And it will be replaced with a sense of your eternality, your blissful, all-knowing eternality.
Un pakāpeniski tā vietā nāks svētlaimīgi savas mūžības un zināšanu apziņa.
So gradually that transformation will take place.
Un pakāpeniski šīs pārvērtības notiks.
And then over a course of time you can look back and you see, wow, this is amazing.
Un pēc kādu noteiktu laiku jūs varēsiet paraudzīties atpakaļ teikt.
I become completely transformed by the mercy of Guru and Krishna.
Pateicoties Guru un Krishna žēlstībai, es esmu pilnībā pārtapusi.
I'm not nearly as selfish, greedy, stupid, lazy as I was before.
Un es vairāk neesmu tā, kā es biju agrāk, skaudīga, muļķīga, dumja.
It's like when you bake a cake in the oven.
Es tā kā, kad jūs cepat,
do you put it in the oven and you look at it, why didn't it bake? What's wrong? You put it there for 1 minute and you say, what's wrong with this recipe? It didn't bake. No, you put it in the oven and you go about your activities. And 25 minutes later you come back, it will be fully baked. So you must follow the recipe given by the spiritual master. Patiently, faithfully executing your duties. And then, in due course of time, the full-blown awakening of love of God will manifest in your heart. That is the way, yes. Questions more? Yes.
It is considered as aparadha, chanting japa and having material desires. But is it, does it mean that, but one who has these material desires should go through this level of chanting japa at the same time having material desires?
Actually, you have material desires. And the only way to get free of them is to chant. If you think I cannot chant because I have material desires, you will never get free. The only way to get free of material desires is to chant. So in spite of your material desires, you must chant. And then because you are chanting steadily every day at least 16 rounds, your material desires will gradually go away. Some people say my chanting is so offensive, it's better I don't chant. But it is more offensive not to chant than it is to chant with material desire. The absolute worst namaparad you can ever commit is not to chant. Krishna orders us, we must always chant. Satatam kirtayanto mangyatantashta dridharataha. Always engaged in chanting my names 24 hours daily as much as possible. So chant and try to become free of material desire. Actually, the more you chant, the more you develop taste for the name. And the more the name becomes tasteful for you, the more you will become free from all material desire. It's a natural thing. Simply by associating with that beautiful name of Krishna, gradually all material desires will appear to be very pale and insignificant. So just keep chanting. And 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 you become perfect. Next question.
Does one who has got enlightenment, who has met God, can, based on his experience, create a teaching which is meant to lead other people back to Godhead? So one who has become enlightened, met God, can...
Nobody invents religion, only God does that. That is stated in Vedic wisdom. Dharman hi sakshad bhagavat pranitam. That religion is only enunciated by God. Nobody can invent religion. However, an empowered acharya will present the same truth in a manner just suitable for that particular audience.
Kas ir saprotama un pieejama dotajiem cilvēkiem.
The message is the same, but the style of presentation will always be different.
Vēstījums ir viens un tas pats, bet stils, vēstījums stils dažāds vienmēr var būt.
So the expert acharya, he has, through deliberation, he has reached the conclusive understanding of the scriptures. And he can present it in such a way to convince others as well.
Deliberation means
the acharya has deliberated thoroughly the the teachings of the Lord and realize the truth of the teachings, and now he can describe in such a way that anyone can become convinced.
Tāds perfekts, tāds pilnīgs ašārī, kas ir pilnībā atbrīvos un pilnībā ir apzinājies šo Dievu mācību, šāds cilvēks var sniegt to citiem, arī citiem, viņiem saprotamā veidā.
The style of presentation will be different from this situation to that situation, but the knowledge will always be the same.
Tas vēstījums stils var būt dažādās situācijās dažāds, bet saturs būs viens tas pats.
It's like tonight I'm speaking in the temple.
Piemēram, šovakar es runāju šeit templī.
Tomorrow I'll be speaking at the Grihastha Home Program.
Rītdien būs ģimenes cilvēku mājas programma.
The style of presentation will be different. I will speak in a different way.
Un es dažādos stilos runāšu.
But the essential teaching will be the same.
Bet tā būtība būs tā pati. Mācības būtība.
Next question.
Mataji had to pass the exam to get permission to chant Pranama Mantra.
Did she do that?
No, but there were she mentioned many problems appear suddenly, and at this very moment she doesn't have time to do that because she has to visit every day her relatives at the hospital, and so she's busy visiting her relatives who are sick. And does it mean, the question is, the fact that I can't pass, I can't to prepare myself for this exam, does it mean that I'm not ready for that, or what could it mean, such a situation?
Well, you have to find a way to be not so much entangled with your family members.
Jums vajadzētu atrast kādu veidu, kad jūs neesat tik ļoti sasaistīti ar saviem ģimenes locekļiem.
You have to find a way to pacify them at the same time do your own business.
Jums jāatrod veids, kā jūs varat parūpēties par viņiem, bet tajā pašā laikā jūs varat darīt to, kas jums ir jādara.
So, the Krishna does want you to surrender. It's not that Krishna is holding you back.
Un Krishna tiešām vēlas, lai jūs viņam nodoties, un tas nav Krishna, kas jūs kavē.
It's just that you're not expertly enough managing your own time.
Jums nav vienkārši prasmes, pietiekam labas prasmes, manažēt pašai savu laiku.
It's your own fault, actually.
Tā ir jūsu pašas nepilnība.
But we can, if you can meet with us privately after the class, and we can help you.
Bet ja jūs atnāksiet privāti pēc šīs lekcijas aprunāties, tad mēs varam palīdzēt.
So, we can help you overcome the mistakes that you're making.
Mēs varam palīdzēt jums tik galā ar tām kļūdām, ko jūs šobrīd pieļaujat.
So, next question.
ISKCON gurus and all the devotees are presenting the same knowledge they have received from Srila Prabhupada. But everyone is presenting that knowledge in a slightly different way. And it is said that we should listen all the always attending Srimad Bhagavatam class. We should listen to all the devotees. But what to do if by listening to many devotees we become confused hearing some contradictions?
For example?
Ja teiktu, ka visi guru un visi bhaktas sniedz vienu to pašu mācību, kas saņem no Srilas Prabhupādas, bet klausoties lekcijas, kas arī rekomendēts, lai regulāri būtu laikā apmeklēt Srimad Bhagavatam klasi, mēs varam dzirdēt pretrunu šajās lekcijās.
What's an example of them?
Different aspects, talking about what is most important for the practice, different aspects are emphasized.
Actually, they're all most important. So there's no contradiction.
Runājot par to, kas tad ir svarīgs kalpošanā, tiek dažādi aspekti, tiek uzsvērti, atbildi, bet tie ir visi svarīgi, tāpēc tur nav pretruna.
Even Srila Prabhupada, he said that there's nothing more important than book distribution.
Pat Srila Prabhupāda, viņš teica, ka nav nekā svarīgāk par grāmatu izplatīšanu.
And then he also said, there's no one more fortunate than the pujari of the deities.
Un tad viņš teica, ka nav neviens, kas ir veiksmīgāks par pujari, kas kalpo dievībā.
So is that contradiction?
Tad vai tā ir pretruna?
Then Prabhupāda is saying, book distribution is the best service?
Tad Prabhupāda saka, ka grāmatu izplatīšana labākā kalpošana.
And then he says that pujari is the best service?
Tad viņš saka, ka pujari ir labākā kalpošana.
Do you think Srila Prabhupada is contradicting himself? Yes or no? No, okay, that's right. Prabhupada is not contradicting himself. You have to understand, this is transcendental culture. This is nothing, Krishna consciousness is not mundane. In the spiritual world, there are so many varieties of rasas. And everyone feels their rasa is the best. And that is transcendental. That is not incorrect. So the one who is working in the deity department, he feels the deity service is the most wonderful service. The one who is stringing the flower garlands, they think this flower garland stringing is the most wonderful service. The one who is a married grihastha, he thinks grihastha is the best ashram. The one who is sannyasi, he's thinking sannyasi is the best ashram. So everyone feels what they are doing, that is the best. Because it is all devotional service, they are all correct. So there is no contradiction. You simply have to transcendentalize your vision. You simply have to free your heart of the six kinds of enemies. Do you know those six enemies that sit in the heart? Do you know those six enemies? Shishi Gornitai ki jai, Shishi Radha Damodar ki jai. Do you know the six enemies that's sitting in the heart? Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya. So you're thinking, oh, the gurus are contradicting each other. No, there is no contradiction. The problem is you have six unwanted guests living in your heart right now. You have to get rid of those six unwanted guests. Lust, isn't it? Lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. You get rid of those six unwanted guests in your heart. That's the problem. You're blaming the gurus. I'm confused because of the gurus. That is a completely bogus argument. You are not confused because of the gurus. Whatever lack of confusion you have, that is because of the gurus. Whatever way you've come out of, to whatever extent you become free from confusion, that is because of the gurus. Your problem is you have six gurus in your heart right now. You're offering puja to the lust guru. To the anger guru. To the greed guru. To the illusion guru. To the madness guru. And to the envy guru. Every day you're offering guru puja to these six gurus. And therefore you are confused. The ISKCON gurus are pulling you out of confusion. It's these six bad gurus in your heart, they are confusing you. So you tell these bad gurus to get out of your heart. Lust Maharaj, get out of here. Anger Maharaj, go away. Greed Maharaj, go jump in the Ganges. Illusion Maharaj, go jump in the Jamuna. Madness Maharaj, envy Maharaj, get the hell out of here as fast as you can. In this way, if you kick out the false gurus from your heart, then you will see how all the gurus are presenting exactly the same teaching. You will see how all the ISKCON gurus are purely representing the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. Next question. So everyone is now satisfied? All doubts are now erased. All impediments are now removed from the heart. Everyone is feeling completely free of all obstacles. Or do you have some question?
Yeah.
Ja, no manas skatījuma praviņa, teiksim tā, veiksmīgi pagulst.
Un tātad kā šo pretrunu no manas skatījuma, kā tad atrisināt?
In connection to the previous question, that process is gradual process, but then, from my point of view, I see there is contradiction, because there is a statement that we can achieve that state of spiritual service immediately.
Yeah.
So, is it possible? And if is,
both things are true.
I'll be there, bro. I'll go when it is.
Even if you're on the gradual pathway, even on the gradual pathway, there will be that moment when you achieve pure Krishna bhakti. Whether it happens now or 100 years from now, there will be that moment when you actually achieve pure Krishna bhakti within a moment.
Vai tas notiks tagad, vai 100 gadus vēlāk, bet būs viens moments, kad jūs saņemsiet šo Krishna bhakti.
You understand?
I try to understand.
Yeah. As long as you're in illusion, you're in illusion. Whether it's 100% illusion or 99% illusion, you're still tinged by illusion.
Tagad jūs esat ilūzijā, un nav nozīme, vai jūs esat 99% ilūzijā,
99% or 1, yeah? 99.
Whether you're 100% an illusion or only 1% an illusion. Yes.
That's right.
As long as you're tinged by illusion, you're tinged by illusion. It's easier to go from 1% illusion to spiritual perfection.
Ir vieglāk no 1% ilūzijas sasniegt garīgo pilnību.
That's why it's a gradual process. You go from 100% illusion and 99% illusion and 98% illusion, etc.
Tāpēc tas ir pakāpenis process, 100%, 99%, 98% tā tālāk.
Because once you get down to 1%, it's much easier to go to spiritual perfection from only 1% illusion.
Un tad, kad esat tikuši līdz 1, tad ir vieglāk tikt, jo tāpēc tikai 1%.
But it's possible to go to, it's possible if in any step to go to spiritual perfection.
Bet ir iespējams no jebkura soļa nonākt līdz garīgai pilnībai.
There are extraordinary cases in Vaishnava history. Look at Jagai Madai.
Ir tādi piemēri Vaishnava vēsturē. Skatīties uz Jagai Madai.
Within maybe 1 hour they became pure devotees.
Varbūt tas bija stundas laikā, viņi kļuva par tīriem bhaktām.
So it is possible, even in 1 hour. The Chaitanya, you know that shloka from Chaitanya Charitamrita? Sadhu sanga sadhu sanga sarva shastre kai lava matra sarva sadhu sanga sarva siddhi hoi. That even one, it's declared in all the scriptures, that if you associate with a sadhu, even for 1/11th of a second, you can achieve all perfection immediately.
It takes, ka, ja jūs piedarbojaties ar sadhu, tad pietiek 1/11 sekundi, lai sasniegt visas pilnības.
How long did it take Prabhupada to come out of his illusion?
Cik ilgi Prabhupādam bija vajadzīgs laiks, lai tiktu ārā no ilūzijas?
It only took one meeting with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur.
Viņam vajadzēja vienu tikšanos ar Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur.
So, it is a gradual process.
Tas ir pakāpenisks process.
But don't make it any more gradual than it don't make it any more gradual than it has to be.
But nepadariet to pārāk pakāpenisku, vairāk pakāpenisku nekā tam būtu jābūt.
You should try it every minute to become perfect in Krishna consciousness.
Jums vajadzētu censties katru minūti kļūt pilnīgam Krishna sapziņā.
That will speed up the process.
Un tas pātrinās šo procesu.
So are you doing everything is given in the scriptures?
Un tā jums jādara viss, kas ir dots rakstos.
Are you chanting 16 rounds regularly? See, you're not even following the basic things. How you expect to wake up? If you can actually take up the process, chant 16 rounds, follow the principles, take shelter of a bona fide guru by initiation, if you actually do these things, you'll be amazed at how quickly it can happen. I know I'm speaking from experience. I know how much I was in illusion before I took Śrīla Prabhupāda's lotus feet. I know how quickly I was transformed by His mercy. So there is a gradual maturing, that's a fact. But if you take up this process with all seriousness and become initiated disciple, Prabhupada says you attain deathlessness immediately at the moment of initiation. Actually, as soon as you take initiation from the bona fide spiritual master and you take your vows with all seriousness, immediately you are liberated. That liberation takes, it goes through a gradual process of maturing. It becomes matured gradually. But from the very moment of initiation, you're liberated soul.
Bet tajā brīdī, un līdz tajā iniciācijā jūs nonākat pakāpenis, bet iniciācijas brīdī jūs kļūst atbrīvot dvēseli.
If you take the vows and you keep them faithfully,
jūs pieņemat šos vērsts un jūs sakojat tiem ar uzticību.
Just like you can go to the shop,
es tā kā, ka jūs doties uz veikalu,
and you can purchase a green mango.
Jūs nopērkat zaļu mango.
You have the mango.
Jums ir mango.
It is now your mango.
Mango.
But it will take some time to ripen. So purchasing the mango, that's an immediate. You can do that in 1 minute. And then waiting for it to ripen, that is a gradual process. So Krishna consciousness is like mango. You can become liberated immediately if you take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. And then that liberation will gradually mature. So just remember the mango and you will see there is no contradiction. But whether you're willing to purchase the mango, that we have to see. It's very easy to speculate. But if you simply speculate on these matters, you are like a person who is licking the outside of a jar of honey. If you want to taste the honey, you must go inside the jar of honey. You are looking from the outside as a mental speculator. If you want to actually know, then you must go inside the jar of honey. You must chant 16 rounds, follow the principles, and take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. And then you will actually taste the honey. And then you will know there is no contradiction. Is that all right? Next question. I saw her hand first. You're next. You got to be fast. Your hand went up first.
Is it possible to achieve through the state of true ahimsa? Because when I pick up flower accidentally swallow a fly, is it violence or what?
Okay. For one who is engaged in sense gratification, they are committing violence at every minute. Every time they inhale, they are killing thousands of microbial germs. So, one cannot avoid such violence in this world. However, consider the example of an ambulance driver. If you are driving down the street and you run a red light, what will happen? The police will catch you. They will give you a ticket. You will have to pay a big fine for running a red light. But if the ambulance driver runs the red light, what the police will do? They will give him an escort to take the person to the hospital, to help him get to the hospital as quickly as possible. Why is the ambulance driver treated differently than you? You are both citizens of Riga. Why is he given some special treatment that you do not get? Because he is acting on behalf of the government. You see, to take that person to the hospital as soon as possible. So, if you engage completely in Krishna's service, if you fully surrender to the bona fide spiritual master, doing everything in the instruction of your guru, which is the order of Krishna, then any violence you may accidentally commit in the course of your service, it will not be considered violence. If a person who is purely absorbed in bhakti accidentally swallows a fly, that fly will be blessed by coming in contact with the pure devotee. So if you want to be able to bless all creatures on this planet, then you simply fully surrender to Guru and Krishna. And then you will become the perfect practitioner of Ahimsa. Now it's your turn.
What is the difference between yogi who eats little prasada and one who is devotee who eats lots of prasada, plenty of prasada?
Yogi means he is trying to achieve mystic siddhis.
Yogi nozīmē tāds, kurš cenšas sasniegt mistiskās spējas siddhis.
That is material desire.
Tā ir materiāla vēlme.
So in spite of his eating very little food,
un neraugoties to, ka viņš ēd ļoti maz,
he remains in material consciousness.
Viņš paliek materiālajā apziņā.
But the devotee, even if he is eating big prasadam, and he's working hard to spread the movement of Krishna consciousness, he is a more advanced yogi.
That one who eats too little or one who eats too much cannot be the yogi.
Yeah, one should eat according to what one's digestive capacity.
If
one is ant, one should eat like ant. And if one is elephant, he can eat like elephant. If one eats more than one can easily digest, then one will become sick. And he will become overly engrossed in his body. So one should only eat what one can easily digest. Overeating and spiritual life go ill together. There's a saying, they go ill together. They don't go together well. There's a saying, they go ill, like sick. They go ill together. Overeating and spiritual life do not go together well. One should be regulated in one's habits of eating, sleeping, working, and recreation if one wants to mitigate all material miseries. But when there's a big feast, that's all right. Sometimes. Not all the time. Prabhupada said a sweet every now and then. Questions more? Okay.
It's a question about the principle of brahmacharya. The question is about the principle of brahmacharya. How is it possible that a woman can practice not thinking about men if a woman has natural tendency to follow men?
Yes, actually, therefore, every woman should be married. That is Vedic culture. As a young girl, she is meant to be protected by her father. And then she is meant to be protected by her husband. And then she is meant to be protected by her grown-up sons. That is Vedic culture. So there's actually the girl, she stays at home. The Vedic system, the boys go to Guru Kula and the girl stays at home. She receives her training from mother. And then she is turned over to a suitable boy and for married life. There was no such thing as brahmacharini. In Vedic culture. Only in some rare cases there is brahmacharini. There was one brahmacharini, that prostitute who became the disciple of Haridas Thakur. She was brahmacharini. Yes, she stayed in that hut and worshipped Tulsi. She was a prostitute before then. But most of nowadays the girls mostly are, the boys and girls who come to our movement, they are all from that degraded culture. mostly. In the Western countries, so, of course, that's not true. Especially the Indian, some of the boys and girls joining our movement now, they are coming from they are not polluted. I know back in the 60s, when everyone who joined this movement, we were all polluted from the hippie culture.
Jā, nevienmēr ir arī cilvēki, kas tīri pievienojušie kustībai, bet atceros 60. Gados, kad mēs nesam no hippie kultūras, un mēs visi bijām piesārņoti.
But Prabhupāda, by his great powerful, he made us into pure practicers of Krishna consciousness.
Bet Prabhupāda ar savu spēku, viņš padarīja mums par tīriem Krishna sapņas praktizētājiem.
So, actually, the position is that the girl should be married.
Un jābūt ir tā, kad meitenei vajadzētu iziet pie vīra.
According to Vedic culture, whatever arrangement is made by the parents, she simply takes that arrangement.
Un saskaņā ar vietas kultūru, uz principiem, ko organizē viņas vecāk, meitenei bija vienkārši jāpieņem.
Or if the parents are not devotees, then she can accept guru's arrangement.
Un ja viņas vecāki nav baktas, tad viņi var pieņemt gurus.
Even today in India, the system is still going on that the parents will arrange the marriage between the boy and the girl.
Un Indijā vēl šodien šī kārtība ir spēkā, ka vecāki organizē laulību.
In certain pious families, there is no dating. Dating, dating, yeah.
Un tikumīgās, noteikti, ir tikumīgas ģimenes, kur vispār nav tādas jēziņa kā tikšanās.
The boys and girls remain pure, without associating freely with each other.
Un viņi saglabā tīrību, un viņi nebiedrojās pēc savas gribas viens ar otru.
And the parents then arrange marriage.
Un tad vecāk organizē šo laulību.
So the best program is whatever spiritual master instructs, you simply do them.
Un labākā programma ir tāda, ka visi, lai ko arī garīgais, ko es teiktu, vai tādā arī.
That is the meaning of brahmachari or brahmacharini. Whatever guru instructs, you simply accept that order as your life and soul. And then you will become properly situated in Krishna consciousness. Next question. So questions are finished, all right?
How to free one's heart for desires of their spiritual master.
Desires of what?
Spiritual master. Their spiritual master. How to find a place in my heart for the desires of my spiritual master.
Yes, how to make the place that your heart is for pleasing your guru like that? Yeah. We have a nice song we sing every day. That my only desire is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. You know that prayer we sing every day? What is that? Guru Mukha Padya Chitete. We sing every day Guru Puja. So you have to meditate on that. And understand, this is your disciple now, you have your guru. So you should be thinking, my only desire is to have my heart purified by the instructions of my guru. I have no other desire except to please him. You have to use your intelligence and train your mind. You should be telling yourself, I have no business other than to please my guru.
Jums ir jāmāc sev, man nav citu darīšanu, kā vienīgi iepriecināt savu skolotāju.
My godbrother, His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami, he one time gave a seminar on the nectar of devotion in Vrindavan. And he gave a very, very nice point which I never forgot. He was saying how one should to always pray to Prabhupada that just use me in whatever way I can best serve your mission. So this is the mood you should have to your for your guru. The only purpose of my existence is to serve the mission of my guru. So you should always pray to him, my dear Maharaj, please bless me that I can be engaged in whatever way I can best serve your mission. You must pray that way every day. Until that becomes your natural way of thinking. And that, and then when it becomes fully fixed in your consciousness, you'll become very advanced devotee. Shishi Gornitai ki jai, Shishi Varadamara ki jai. So that's the mood. You have to pray for that every day. That's what I do. I pray very deeply within my heart to, I know what the proper mood is, and I beg my spiritual master I can have the proper mood. We have to all realize how incompetent and unqualified we are. And we simply have to beg our spiritual master to save us from our fallen consciousness. And if we do that very feelingly, he will reciprocate with our prayer. So you simply beg, Guru, my dear spiritual master, please bless me that my only desire is to please you. Keep praying that way all the time. Just keep it going always in your consciousness. Please let me chant my rounds in a way that pleases you. Please bless me, I can treat my wife in a way that pleases you. Please bless me that I can sing in the kirtan in a way that pleases you. Please bless me that I can honor prasadam in a way that pleases you. Everything in your 24 hours a day, you should be praying about everything that you do. That may be done in a way, Guru Maharaj, that pleases you. And this way you'll become a very advanced devotee and you will see Krishna face to face by the mercy of Guru. Any more questions? I'm just saying normally that my point was normally there are not brahmacharis in Vedic culture, but sometimes there were. That's a very good point. Thank you for reminding me of this. Because sometimes there's an illusion in ISKCON that, well, I'm married, I don't have to be a brahmachari now, I can have some fun.
Tāpēc,
Now I suffered in brahmacharya ashram long enough, now I'm a house sitter, I can enjoy my senses. This is very good that Mataji is pointing this out to me, reminded me. There are four kinds of brahmacharis in Vedic culture. There's a brahmachari brahmachari, grihastha brahmachari, vanaprastha brahmachari, and sannyasa brahmachari. Four kinds of brahmacharis are there. Everyone must practice brahmachari life throughout the entire life. And what does that mean? That means no sex life except for producing Krishna conscious children. No more sex life for recreation. Sex only for procreation and nothing else. That is brahmachari. Some householders in ISKCON think, well, householders fought to follow three regulated principles. That is completely bogus. Prabhupada would be furious. Four regulated principles for everyone. Here's the actual, you want to know the actual standard for a householder to have sex? They can't have any sex until they get their permission from the spiritual master. The Guru Maharaj, we would like to have a child. Will you bless us? Do we have your permission to try to have a child? And then if Guru Maharaj gives permission, then they can try to have a child. Only once in a month, on the most fertile day of the lady's menstrual cycle, they can have sex enjoyment after chanting 50 rounds of japa. Only once in a month. And that's it. Nothing else. Then after they have their child, then they have, unless they have permission for another child, they have to remain celibate again. If the regular, you know, materialistic person hears this, they will think this is unbelievable. You people are crazy. But actually they're crazy, because they don't realize the benefit of practicing Krishna consciousness strictly. By strictly practicing brahmachari, one becomes a highly advanced transcendentalist. Highly advanced transcendentalist. Questions more?
Vai ir nepieciešams pieņemt dikšu, vai arī var dzīvot garīgu dzīvi bez dikšas pieņemšanas, ja?
Is it important to get diksha, or one can remain in one can continue his spiritual life without getting diksha? Okay.
if there is, if one has chosen his spiritual master, he has accepted his somebody as his spiritual master, but doesn't want to get diksha from his spiritual master. But one doesn't have this diksha. Is it necessary to get diksha?
Well, do you want to go back to Godhead? I have just recently read a quote directly from Prabhupada. He said, unless you have diksha, you can't go back to Godhead. So if you don't mind staying in the material world, then you don't need diksha. But for one who would like, if one would like to go back to Godhead, then diksha is required. Diksha means you're making a solid commitment to always obey the instructions of Guru. So why they don't want to make that commitment to Guru?
Why they don't want, yeah?
Why they are not taking diksha? Diksha means committing themselves to follow the order of Guru. Why they are not committing themselves to follow Guru's order? They have some independent program? What's the answer?
I want, but I didn't have a chance.
Oh, this is you? You're not initiated yet? Oh, okay. Well, the chances are there.
Yes, I see. It's good, but not obvious, but yes,
It's said that man proposes and God disposes. You have a particular guru you're aspiring for? You should be very aggressive to get diksha from him then. You don't be lazy in the matter of diksha. Be very aggressive to get your diksha. In certain matters you should not be shy. When it comes to prasadam, you should not be shy. When it comes to money, you should not be shy. And when it comes to diksha, you should not be shy. You should be very bold and very aggressive. My godbrother Dhananjaya Prabhu, he had just joined the movement. And Prabhupada said, are there any questions? And he was so aggressive, he raised his hand. And he said, when can I get initiated? So you have to be very aggressive. And don't take no for an answer from anybody. Look at the example of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati and Gurkishore Das Babaji. You know that story, yeah? He was prepared to commit suicide if he wasn't given diksha. I don't advise you to do that, but the point is you have to be very and really aggressive to get your diksha. Krishna is testing your determination by making it difficult. You must do that. You must approach Guru and the authorities and you have the pranam mantra ready? Yeah. So you have to be very aggressive now and very humble also to see how to approach the authorities and see what I can do now to qualify myself.
Yeah. much is it how important is it to get the second initiation? What are initiations? Sorry,
second initiation, everyone must come. Second initiation reconfirms that you're properly situated.
Otrā iniciācija vienkārši atkal no jauna apstiprina, ka jūs esat pareizā stāvoklī.
Second initiation is a stricter initiation.
Un tā ir jau tāda striktāka iniciācija.
You've been given special mercy. You were given first initiation. Now you have to prove yourself as an initiated disciple to become recognized as Brahmana.
Jo tā ir īpaši žēlstīto, ka jūs saņemat pirmo iniciāciju, un tad jums ir jāpierāda sevi, ka jūs esat kvalificēts, ka būtu Brahmana.
So everyone should become very eager to develop those brahminical qualities.
Un katram vajadzētu būt ļoti centīgam, lai, un ļoti vēlēties, lai es attīstītu šīs kvalitātes.
Because that will empower them in their practice of Krishna consciousness.
Ja tas vienkārši dod lielāku spēku praktizēt Krishna apziņu.
To be very clean.
Būt tīram.
To be honest.
Godīgam.
To control the mind.
Kontrolēt prātu.
To control the senses.
Jūtekļus kontrolēt.
To be regulated and rising early in the morning.
Būt ievērot.
To become well read in the books and preach to others and distribute the books.
Lasīt grāmatas, sludināt citiem, izplatīt grāmatas.
These are brahminical qualities.
Tās ir brahmaniskas kvalitātes.
You've been given the chance with first initiation, now develop the brahminical qualities.
Jums ir dot iespējas ar pirmo iniciāciju attīstīt brahmaniskās kvalitātes.
Brahman means you're an authorized teacher of the science.
Un brahmans nozīmē, jūs esat autorizēts zinātnes skolotājs.
It means you're recognized now, you're now a teacher. And so everyone should become a teacher of Krishna Bhakti, brahman.
Un katram ir jākļūst par brahmanu, uz Krishna Bhakti skolotāju.
We want people to preach.
Mēs vēlamies, lai cilvēki sludina.
Brahman means qualified preacher.
Un brahman nozīmē kvalificēts sludinātājs.
So you must become brahmana.
Jums jākļūst par brahmanu.
Don't just eat and sleep. One must become qualified Brahman.
Cilvēkam jākļūst par kvalificētu Brahman.
Next question.
Es gribētu komentāru, tika pieminēts, ka nevajag būt kautrīgam attiecībā uz trim lietām un naudu bija to starpā. Es gribētu komentāru par to naudu.
You mentioned three things, and one of these, not to be shy about, mm-hmm. one of these things was money.
Yeah.
Could you explain that point?
Yes, Prabhupada says the householders who are doing business, they should do that in full swing. You understand full swing? Yes. You must do, if a householder is doing business, he should do in full swing and not be shy. He should be very aggressive to become very successful businessman. Prabhupada says a Krishna conscious businessman, he can aspire to become the wealthiest businessman in the world. So this is very good. If our householders become very wealthy, then they can actually give 50% of their income, like Prabhupada said they should do. Whatever your monthly overhead is, you should make four times that amount every month at least. Profit. Whatever, if you acquire 1,000 euros for your monthly overhead, that means the householder, he should earn at least 4,000 euros every month. So he can give 2,000 to the temple, live on the 1,000, and put the other 1,000 into savings for retirement. If you can put 1,000 euros into savings every month, that would be 12,000 euros every year times 25 years from the age 25 to 50. What is 25 times 12,000?
440,000
euros with all the interest.
No, 200,
240,000. But after 25 years of accruing interest, you could have €1 million by that time. Something.
It is more. I calculated 20 and 12 is about 300.
What is the amount? €300,000, but and then with all the accrual of interest, you can easily retire by the age 50. So in this way, we encourage our householders to become. If you're a householder, you should become very wealthy, very rich man. So you can give 50% of your income to the temple. Live on 25% and put 25% into savings. And if you can't do that, then at least, you know, come and do some service at the temple. The best you can, and Krishna will take care of you. Next question. Is that it? All right. We'll stop here. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Rajavidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His Grace Srimad Sankarsana Dasa Dikari ki jai.